screwed it. The valley. DJ Dex in a dark night in a dim lit wood saw creeds and colors descend on this place to celebrate one culture. A congregation gathered at a wooded palace of light and sound, all ready to give it all ready to shake the ground. Souls take flight to steady beats. Hearts beat fast to pounding feet. Round rising euphoria to floating transcendental trance. Ecstasy in the air of free people all moving equal, united in dance. A sea of floating emotion. Tangible, conscious interconnectedness fills the midnight trees. All move as one until the morning sun.
Ah, yeah, we've all been there. Unsa. Next up, we have Don Johnson.
That might be my thing now. I don't know. Pseudonym, right?
The river sobs. I walked past the building where he fell. Did he? Third level balcony. Riverside. Still there, with different tenants. Do they know? Do they know we celebrated Thanksgiving together, drinking by the window? Do they know what he found inside himself? I don't. The blood is gone from the pavement, washed slowly away by the dark green rain god. I did not know him. I barely knew anybody. All of us new to the mossy lanes and stout sweet pubs that in their quiet summation form this homely, unknowable city, cut deep by the eyes of a dividing river. I do not know him. I do not know anything. I ask the river to open its mouth. The river sees everything.
Thank you, Dan. And now we have Sue Blue. Ooh,
hi, Sue.
Thanks very much. I'm very moved by just about everything tonight, especially when it's on the sad side, which tells me that I'm still very much grieving. I was at Raven's wake over on the Friday. If you remember last week, I paid a little tribute to Raven. I want to do that again because he's just on my mind. He was only cremated today. I wasn't able to be there. But I wrote a poem which kind of really, that has nothing to do with him, had nothing to do with him, but here it is, and it's got to do with those birds. And it kind of fits it, so maybe it helps me to let go. Flying. The rooks are rising from their inland tree, spreading along the twilight sky, filling every inch up high with silhouettes of wings. Flowing over me endlessly, a river across the blue, giving me wings as time stands still, lifting me into the skies to play and fly along. Calling one another through the evening glow, chasing, sweeping, wild and free, my silhouette across the blue sails with them in the winds. Streaming towards the estuary, a big old tree, the rookery, where the family clan gathers to calm the call in their lofty nest for night to fall. Streaming me towards home. Thank you.
Thanks, Sue. And now we'll have Charles Clark.
Not to be recorded or posterity.
Not for the MP3.
No. Chinese and Egyptian civilizations are rather different anyway. And I was at an exhibition in London when I found myself standing in front of a Chinese imperial throne, old and rather no longer, but still I was abashed, because I thought to myself, well, you know, in real life, if one had been in front of a Chinese imperial throne, you were almost certainly in trouble of some sort. Then I taught myself Egypt, and came to my mind the famous lines of Shelley from his poem, I am, whatever it was, and he said, I am a man, Ozymandias, king of kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing remains beside. Around the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. And then there's a little, what's it? If anyone has ever heard of something called the New Criticism, it's not very new now. It's a very long time ago, and one of our esteemed lecturers when I was in college said that the last line, the lone and little sands and shrubs stretch far away, couldn't be tolerated at all. It wasn't, it didn't fit, it didn't go with the opinions what had gone before. So that was Chicago criticism of about 1930. I thought I'd add that.
Thank you, Charles. And now we'll have Mary O'Connell.
Thanks, Rosie. This is called Losing Control. It could apply to political things or emotional things, anything that's going on in one's life. Losing control. Always sure to find your bearings as you sailed from port to port. You enjoyed the freedom of the waves, trusted to the winds. Now your once sleek vessel is yanked from chartered lanes, cast adrift in shifting weather. No automatic pilot for a guide. No one there to help you haul the catch, grasp the tiller when rocked by squalls. All you can do is batten down the hatch when riding out the game of kit pitch and toss. Reduced to a pocket compass, you strain to scan the skies, hoping to make landfall before dark, find at least one straggler on the quay, a soul to grab the painter when your boat comes alongside. Will terra firma offer you relief? Or, like the Flying Dutchman, will you never be at peace? As phosphorescence streaks along the deck through scales and twisted fishhooks, the dog star casts its shiver on the sea.
Thanks, Mary. And now we'll have Jamie Lanton, please.
Lawton. I know not everybody rhymes, and I don't know why that is, but all I know is why I do, and what it is about rhyme that fits with a mind that sits in a mire, mixed and attired and affixed with briars and sticks. A mess of conflict, looking like it can't be fixed, but how else do you start?
How do you create your art? How do you write what can hit me hard, what is in your head and is in your heart? Because for me, it's hard to choose the words to use without a rule in place. I need some limits. I need some constraints. There's too much I could say and too little that I want to. I'd rather not be talking about the things by which I'm haunted, but the caution that I guard my thoughts with drops and falls away. The diversion is what lets me be more honest. So what can I say that rhymes? What fits into 16 bars? But finding ways to make it hard, I can write what is in my heart, and I can start to pull apart the hardened part of me that resists being described directly.
Ain't nothing wrong with rhyming. So now we'll have Michelle Delay, Keith.
So, I'd also like to make a tribute to Raven. I wasn't here last week, but I only ever met him once, and it was in Dublin on a bus. The day of Paul Kern's funeral was taking place then, and this week is also Owen Murray's anniversary. So I'd like to remember. There's something funny about being at a funeral with other people. You kind of never expect the other people at the funeral to ever die, because they're so full of the memory of the person who has passed away. So it always comes as a shock when you realize that. So I'm going to let this poem, it's called The Little King, and I'm going to just let it be kind of a celebration of youth. It's just something that they all had in common as they passed. For Owen, Paul and Raven. The little king is 7 years old with rolled up sleeves, double folded pants of denim jeans, little white shoes with white laces loosening as he plays, grips on soles all worn away. The little king's got a little stick which fills the palm of his little hand. The landscape beneath the loose brick is a whole playground as he sits and tosses the muck about, getting to know the earth from the inside out for the first time. How it feels, how when it's wet, it dries, turns light, falls away in his little hands, how he lets it fall back to land, how he does not ask for even a handful of dirt. The little king's got a bright blue t-shirt on, size age 7 to 8. He'll outgrow it before long, shoot up like a tree to the sun, to be sat down again upon his throne. He'd search for stray pennies at the side of the street, soak them in soda for weeks. He watches the copper rust green, green as mossy banks, leaving mossy bank green stains on his hand as he throws them down before his feet, hops on one leg silly, through the chalk squares drawn on the street. He learns to count. 1, 2, 3, hop, hop, 6, 7. Pick a penny up, hear it scoff. Ready, steady, 7, 6, hop, hop, 3, 2, 1, he's got a crown. 18 carat gold, the metalsmith boasts. Profile like a castle roof, topped with 14 ornate steeples, gluttonously garnished with pearls of amherst. On the little king, it slopes, slants, and falls lopsided. Nested on the channel of his ear, where the legs of his glasses would have lied. It circles his head, surrounds his skull, as he grows up and into it, it starts to fit. Brackets his thoughts, conducts them round, centrifugal from his ego, kinetic loops of metal at the speed of gold. He promised himself he would never forget the sound of the cricket's crunch in the jaws of the reptile, as he paced in snakeskin boots on a solid marble floor, hiding the earth, switching sword for stick, his play for power. He sits in his chamber at golden hour and makes pretend that this gentle son is not enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle. And now we'll have Patricia Walsh. from my college days, where every other conversation occurred over coffee. And I'm in the same boat as Katie, when she comes to come to grips with classics. But the classics didn't have resonance today, so it's called Valid Minion. You know it, but I don't. Hollered backwards. Parting short of Peregrine Enterprise. Places taken by identical equipment. Flowers on every table justify the means. Conversations over food is half the battle. What were prehistoric gods, space failure surmise, making horses politicians, chattels used wisely, for worse bearing, smaller growth abiding, infinite massage offers come by the by, junk mail with a purpose not even interested. The cover of sweepstakes, recognised discreetly, executing the forgotten a promised windfall, scaling in its realisation in its brightened field. Bleeding in his inspiration, a chain purchase, crippled to a purpose, no more assignation. Burning homes, or noble pleasures, fixed worse than ever, coffin presiding, suspended animation, not even a point now, surviving for dear life, not even an apology, rights and inclusion given the right change. Take it handy, the easier the task, the better. Trust examination, flowers in due season. Black dots on the face of a negligent adolescent. Raw facts abide where tea lights shine the wares. Bad research over conversation and valid purpose. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. And now we have Cathal Holden.
So I'd also like to do a piece for Raven. Raven was a phenomenal human being, just someone who you look to in a room for support. If you're performing, if you look at Raven, you feel it, feeds it back. Raven was an amazing guy. The last time I saw him was a Body and Soul. We sat on a hill under a tree as I was passing him, and he said, "Hey," and I said, "Hey," and we swapped a poem. I did one for him, he did one for me, and that was the last time I saw him. It's called Black Feathers. The wind said that a raven died, so dance and go to drinking wine. Sing peace upon the raven's flight, outside of space and after time. Heart open as the breaking sky, above all ye 10,000 things. The raven gathered like the night, he took the world beneath his wings. The wind carried high the love-wise bird, the raven flew beyond its reach. It carries now his name and words, black feathers writing on the breeze.
Thanks, Carl. Now we have Max Creighton.
Just because Sally did from Mother Jones competition. Because I've done it here, but just if I could do a quick improv for me, ma'am. For Greta, who he saw at the dance in her blue calico polka dot dress and swept home to Turin at the back of his motorbike, who sailed away the next day to go nursing in Margate, who he wrote to for 2 years till she came home and married him, who bore him so many with Dora to tend her, who kissed his hands at the table to make his eyes twinkle, who knew the words of each song though she was tuneless, who, driving and swimming, could master each challenge, who's gone 17 years but not forgotten his girl in the China blue eyes. It's today. Give me a map. So this one's for from the Mother Jones competition. They were stuck for a few songs, so I entered and I got a few quid. Born near the Shandon, a slip of a girl with the eyes of steel, what power she'll wield. She set sail for Toronto with hunger's murder on the road. But how soon five loved ones were to go.
flames of Chicago, a phoenix rises up to her foes. A crusader for the children, a hellraiser to fight for a cause. She fought the cause. Mother Jones let them know. Fight like hell for the living, be opposed to the ruthless exploitation. From dictators to the nation, hell no, hell no. Mother Jones let them know. March with the children to the door, Pennsylvania to the White House. She'll tell them not to take it anymore. Mother Jones, they call the coal miner's angel. Mother Jones, they call the coal miner's angel.
Two verses opposite.
She thundered down the mine shaft to stand up for the break of eyes of coal. To unite the mining workers one and all. Never call me a lady, I'm beholden to the Knights of Labor's call. A socialist progressive father calls. From the flames of Chicago, a phoenix rises up to her foes. A crusader for the children, a head raiser to fight.
Stuff, Max, and congrats on winning the competition. Well deserved, I'd say. So, next we have Margaret O'Regan. Oh, yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, Margaret O'Regan.
Thank you. I was involved in the Shelter Sea campaign many years ago, and one of the very dark winter mornings, some of you will have heard this before, actually, I read it in Clonakilty a fortnight ago. It was pitch black, 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and in Ballinaboy in County Mayo. And as we assembled to march, we saw a long, winding swathe of what we thought were men, but they were dressed in yellow, and they were just the guards with yellow high-vis vests. And I imagined what it would be if a child was looking out a window watching them. And this is what I imagined the child would be thinking. I looked out the window one morning. I saw luminous men. They were yellow, yellow men, loads of them, marching on my road, the road my grandfather built, phosphorescent in the morning light, something glinting. Were they aliens? Who was their leader? That's it. Now, I just want to say something. There's an exhibition on in the UCC, Aula Maxima Hall, at the moment, and it's running until Friday. It's called Stay With Me. It's about the Tuam babies, and Mo O'Connor's poem is one of the exhibits. So if any of you are free during the week, go and see it.
Thanks, Max. And with that intro, we'll have Mo next.
Thank you very much, and the poem in question, thanks to Margaret for organising that, and you have that poem. So here's another one from a few years back. About 5 years ago in Ireland, and there's any visitors here from Rod and Gilleries, They had a competition, it's hard to believe it now, to find Ireland's greatest poet, not poet, greatest poem. And it was poems selected by Kevin and Seamus Heaney, Warren Finchley, and other people. And we all had to vote measures. So I wrote this poem called Poem for Ireland in honour of that great iconic competition at the time. Poem for Ireland, home of the mouth of poet, Kevin on the Grand Canal, muttering through the swans of cool, lamenting the loss of Tally Flynn, writing the green fool, beating an awkward customer, bell from all the pubs where tourists flocked to toast his name. Home for Ireland, all Ireland champion poet to be crowned by RTE, he get a medal in Croke Park during the halftime show. The small poet made good, Michael D, represented to his next of kin, unless it's a woman, then it would be Camogie Day. The mouth of poets of Erin, alive or dead, exiled and unread, most conveniently turned to ash, so we wanted to pay in cash. Roll up, dead poets wanted, like the outlaws of old. The spawn of the champion poet can run for the Shannon, be flown to the White House on St. Patrick's Day with a dried up piece of shamrock and a prayer of peace and hope. Play golf with Bono and the Pope. Tonight, after the news, before the voice, the people of Ireland will make their choice. One poem will emerge as the winner and define us as a nation.
Thanks, Mo. And next up we'll have Molly Toomey.
Thank you. So this is about temporary accommodation and the homelessness crisis. Crumbling. The receptionist glares at on you a streak of snot on your sleeve. You get no welcome pack, no map of the city. Her eyes roll at your council bag of 50s. She counts them three times, swipes her counterfeit pen. Anya is dragging you now, wants her animal crackers in the bottom of the case that holds your life. She is crying, stomping, shrieking. You can't sign the document, Jesus Christ. The receptionist thinks you can't handle your child. You yell at her, plead with her. She doesn't know what it's like to change a nappy on the side of the road, to eat dry Rice Krispies for lunch, to spit blood because you can't afford a toothbrush. All you want is a table and chairs so Anya can dip crunchy soldiers in boiled eggs. Heaters to hang damp socks on and a shower to clean the city grease off your skin. A bed with fresh linen to sleep and sleep until you can't remember the woman who held her purse a little tighter, the guard who kicked you off the steps of the church, this receptionist tut, tut, tutting. Thank you.
Short tune to see how it goes. Yeah. practice, people.
Set apart, always growing with their hee-hawed backroom self-assurance, ever went to my old school. Inherited wealth set them apart, made up for facial features, sent them to the same boarding schools that made their fathers to compound them in their interest. At my old school, a few young boys, well-scrubbed, warned to be well-spoken, always watching how they'd be exposed and shamed or offered guaranteed paid-for attendance. Money set them apart, lacking hidden behind a hope, sent for an education more real than what you'll learn with friends. My old school placed itself against extremes, between excess, a centre reaching to the top. The promise was to make a man of me, of us, of them, as brothers. Learned shared looks of knowing better with old school ties, a teenage knot in the middle to bind us all together. You are the future, lads, they told us, the open secret of our due respect. Heed us, work hard, and nothing can ever deny you that. No difference was ever personal. The presumption were all the same. We're all different, the teacher said. The difference to be the same right sort. We guarantee you that or we'll fuck you out. I fucked off. I didn't know it at the time. It was more than pool halls, booze and fags. It was more than endless coffees waiting for the day to finish, then start again, but never start for me. How does your life begin when the one way to be is the one way you're not? You're all men, they say. Nothing can ever take that from you. Yet that school's one truth could not hold fast. And so the question you refused to ask but felt so deep, how much of this is lies, is asked by every difference in that school. Every pushed down unacknowledged look, the unknown fear that this small world is all repressed. Learning difference has no merit in a future ever the same, when manufactured men thought the always ways, it always was and will always be. The past of pupils given a future moulded to their shape.
Final reader for the night is Andrew Carroll.
Some of you may have heard this one before, but I just want to read this tonight. I wrote this poem upon meeting somebody who I knew when I was a teenager, later in recent years, at a wedding, and they'd become a very famous country musician, like a country noir musician, we'd say. And it doesn't matter, famous person in the US. And I was really struck by the difference between the teenager that I'd known and this new context for this person that I had when I met them. So went home and had never heard her music, and put on one of her most famous pieces of music, and was really, really struck by the piece of music, and wrote the poem just being moved by the piece of music. But I think the poem turned into an exploration of how we get in touch with the younger part of ourselves in the process of being creative. So I think that's what I take from the poem anyway. A burgeoning for Aoife. It's all there in your solo, in every note. Stations, truck stops near small towns, painted in tone in the distance. Silos, galvanized sheds alongside the route. As we pass through tracts along straight highways, our eyes aloft in a cab and passing over the asphalt as though we're flying. I knew you as a teenager. You wore an ichthys on a string, Piscean pinions, wings earned during a phase, you told me later. That springtime daughter was also drawn to forms of the artistic, a trait that would grow and swell over years into mastery in your music, your first love. I question the images in your air. Is it memory mixed with the mind's eye that allows notes to conjure a landscape where my grandparents may have lived in the north of Ireland, my reading and rendering coloured by the land up there, as well as by country music my grandfather would play in the van? Another painting comes to mind, a print of the Angelus by Millet on the wall in my grandmother's sitting room. Two peasants praying in a field at 6 o'clock, while church bells call from the horizon, reaching out silently from a centre to still the couple for some moments, tools downed and eyes lowered onto a patch of earth between them. Dali rightly sensed a child buried there beneath the plot, entwined with the earth, like a line in your song, but this time the winding is in brushstrokes, earthen hues eventually laid upon the flesh tints to hide the infant. Though the dead newborn is obscured, the twosome's grief is clear, their bundle become the burden of sorrow, with only faith for consolation, and failingly so, one suspects. The little one beneath the oily clay shades the scene in its absence, like a space sensed in a line of verse around a single syllable where a double would have kept the beat, the child lying beneath. Okay, I'm not keeping the beat. Described but unsaved from the soil. Is it wrong to want to be rescued? Like the babe beneath the pinguid ground, we call to be found but not to be delivered, rebirthed from the earth. Pains taken to set aside some hours for the infant still within the depths. Not a fossil to be exhumed, but a vital spark drawn from the dark. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew, and everybody for taking part. That was a mighty night. I'm overwhelmed with all your poems, and especially, and a special thanks to Katie Donovan.